Oh, okay.
You're entering a realm which is unusual. Maybe it's magic or contains some kind of monster. The second one. Prepare to enter.
Welcome to the world of tomorrow!
Good news, everyone!
I'm your host, Daniel.
And I'm your host, Wille.
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 And welcome back to the podcast, ladies and jelly spoons, as Mr. Shondell used to say, our creepy gym teacher. Today, we are covering one of our favorites.
One of the best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everybody
yeah, yeah.
says.
I forgot how good this is. Probably the best, if not greater than the best. Probably, is there any better? I don't know. No, this is such a good episode. I forgot how many good quotes,
yes.
How rich the animation is, how just so
I
much
was
of everything.
Constantly
everything
writing.
Checks the box.
I was constantly writing.
Oh, same.
I was like, that's a good quote. That's a good one.
Yes, eggs crackly. It was very good. I was very impressed with this. And these episodes, I think, are a little bit more straightforward for me to dissect because I've seen them fewer times, right? Like the ones we've seen in the early seasons, I've seen so many times, like between like I feel like the peak of me watching Futurama was when it was all between it being off the air and then like maybe like halfway through the new series of episodes or of seasons.
Yeah, I feel like it was right around this time was when my like infatuation really started, where I'm like, I'm going to rewatch this over and over and over again. Like I've at this point rewatched it 15 times, maybe.
Oh, probably. Yeah. So this is like the OG comfort show for sure.
Yeah.
Like, this is like what,
this is
like,
what
defines
I learned.
Show genre
yeah. This is how I learned what a comfort show is. Like now that we have streaming and we can just do that. It's like, this was on Netflix for a long time. So that's why it's even easier to rewatch because there's no commercials. Hulu has commercials.
Yeah.
And I know I don't pay for no commercials, PD.
I still cannot believe you don't pay for no commercials. It's,
it's
like
the principle.
Dr. McGee?
PLE, not PAL, you dunce.
You don't.
Yes, guys, we're talking about season 7, episode 5, the Da Vinci Code. Now, coincidentally, Quay is reading the Dan Brown novel. She already read Da Vinci Code, but she's been reading that series recently. So it's funny that she's like actually going through that while we watch this, which is parodying and references directly.
Yeah, true. Yes, exactly. I think about how lucky I am
to have a best friend
having,
like me.
Well, you mean every morning I wake up and every night when I go to bed? Yeah,
whenever
duh.
I wake up.
No, how lucky I am not to have ever shit my pants publicly in high school when this book was out, because people would absolutely have called me Dan Brown.
Oh, God. I did not know where that was going, but perfect payoff.
Oh, my God, no.
So just so the audience knows, Daniel never shit himself in public in high school, but he did piss himself, and so that's how he got the name Yellow Dan.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan,
yeah, and it was
Dan Golden Showers.
I'm PP Dan.
Well, you are PP Tom.
That is true.
And it's full circle.
Is there anything? Oh, there might actually be something to report. Let's just take a
look.
Oh,
God.
Here.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I don't know where.
Take a look.
Where is it?
No, there he is. Okay. Let's see. Ooh, okay. We have a sporty, cute gentleman who is standing alone at the end of the precipice. He is looking directly at Alcatraz over the hill and probably on Grindr or this turned into Donald Trump somehow. I don't know. But he's taking photos of Alcatraz and he looks great. Back to you.
Thanks so much, PB Tom / Donald Trump impersonator.
Correct. That was actually the 45th president. He is a frequent guest on our podcast. We don't like to talk about it.
And we don't like to let him talk either.
Correct, yes. I don't think we have the listenership to get anyone quite that high profile, regardless of your thoughts.
Regardless of their notoriety.
Famous, more like infamous. Wait, what did you say to me when I won the freshman year class of the president freshman year? So we were talking
when Mackey was vice president, and then he absolutely shirked his responsibilities, so I had to step in.
Yeah, Mackey did not know what the fuck he was doing. God damn it, Mackey. It's okay. He was too busy getting narbs.
Yeah, exactly. No apparent reason boners. For those who don't know.
That poor kid. No matter what happens, that kid will always win a Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll always be the kid who got a boner in math class.
He could save 1,000 children from a burning bus. A very long bus that could hold 1,000 kids.
A stretch limo bus.
A stretch of, oh, my God. Business idea. Luxury kids need to get to school somehow too.
Stretch limo bus.
He could save 1,000 kids from a burning bus, and we would still, the first thing I would think of is, and then narb.
Yes Oh, those poor ill-fitting pants. It was just the wrong, it wasn't
ill-fitting, is that they were the athletic pants, like the kind of nylons with the snaps on the side type of thing.
Yes, and they had absolutely shrunk in the wash. They were...
Oh, and... Well, it's because they were hand-me-downs, even though he was the oldest child.
Yeah, how he always have hand-me-downs when he was the oldest kid?
I think it was just that he looked... It looked like they were hand-me-downs. Well, I mean, you could get them from Goodwill or something, but... The point is that they didn't fit.
Good money.
And it would be very obvious that you had a narb in math class.
Oh, God, yeah. Just poor kid. Poor Mackie.
Well, hopefully he's doing good now.
And he ended up porking Jesse Smock, so, like, good for you.
I mean,
dude.
Good for you. She was a high-level athlete.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? The chick was ripped.
She could jump. She was tall, and she could jump.
Yeah. And she was, like, very much like a, like, what do you call that? Not Ubermensch, but like a
Doberman.
Nordic goddess built.
Oh, like like a Valkyrie.
Yeah, Valkyrie. Yes. That's what
she definitely was like. Had that Valkyrie presence.
Yes. Oh, 1,000%. Yeah, she was great. Love you.
A treasure.
Probably shouldn't say her full name. We're talking about her porking someone in high school, but you know.
Well, hey. Whatever. I mean, they were both minors, so it's okay. Nothing foul went on.
That is true. They loved gold and other precious metals. Like canaries?
No, foul.
Oh, did you get my joke?
I didn't hear your joke.
He said, yeah, that's right. They loved gold and various other precious metals. They were both miners.
Wow, we both were pitching each other and then horns. Swing and missed at the same time.
You know what? I'm having a great time. Fuck it.
Well, guys, before
Speaking
we...
a great time, should we talk about...
we were both trying to segue at the same time.
We're just finishing each other's sandwiches.
We're
today.
Too much on the same page.
Speaking of great, what about some good news?
Good news, everyone.
Why don't you go first? Because I went first last time and stole it.
Let's see. I honestly don't have a very interesting life anymore.
Neither do I.
But it's in a good way. It's because like every week is good because I feel like I finally started to balance things in my life so that like
that's amazing.
I'm not defining it by like when something good happens. I'm just like having a good day pretty much every day.
That's exactly what you should be doing.
No, Quay and I are living the dream and it's truly amazing. You know, I've got majority of my mental health under management. New management.
That's what we want, baby. Under new management.
There's someone else knocking around on this noggin.
but just for the listeners, he literally knocked on his own noggin. Like, anybody in there?
Nope. Not anymore.
No, that's I have some good news that we can both share.
We've been go ahead. Is it something to do with a little something about spreading democracy?
Yes, we've been spreading democracy and all over the galaxy, across the fucking galaxy, wiping out the rebel scum, the Terminids, and the
and soon
automatons.
The automatons. We have not ventured into automaton territory together yet.
We can do it. We can.
But I think
it.
We can do
we
it.
We can do it.
I can do it. I can cast a spell.
I have some work. Oh my god! Wait, what is that for?
That like cut, what old is that like Dragon Quest commercial for like the Game Boy Advance.
It was a Yeah, it was a commercial for sure.
For Dragon
wasn't it?
Quest. Someone it's like a turn-based RPG today. Game, I think.
Someone just quoted a commercial today, and I was like, oh my god, that's like a deep-seated core memory of like hearing that over and over and over.
Like head-on, applied directly to the forehead.
Directly to the forehead. But it was because like I feel like that you don't – you know – maybe
you're doing the Nicholas Fane thing.
Nicholas Fane.
You wouldn't want to put it in a tube.
You wouldn't want to put it in a tube. No, nowadays, children's programming has a higher diversity of types of commercials and commercials themselves. But back in our day,
right.
They would run those things.
It was all just for kids.
Fucking nauseam. Well, it was all for kids, but it was also like the same commercial for 7 to 10 months at a time, and it would play every single commercial break.
Good point.
And we would be watching the same show on the same network
every
5 days a week, like Dragon Ball Z.
After school shit.
Exactly, after school shit. So then we're hearing this commercial every commercial break. You're watching 2 or 3 shows maybe. That's like hearing that thing 15 times a day, let alone like
– for
I can't even
5/7 of the year.
Yeah, exactly. So there's so many things. Like where you been, man? Saturn.
Baby Bjorn. Baby Bjorn. Or baby – oh, baby born, not
baby
Bjorn.
Baby born. Baby born.
And it's like the baby doll that poops and barfs and you can feed it.
Yeah. The baby doll that like has like little seizures and now, shit, and I'm like,
Quay and I were talking about this recently.
Rockabye Shushu.
Rockabye Shushu. No, Quay and I were talking about this recently. The if you think too much about like the whole baby doll toy for little girls thing,
it's fucked
it's
up.
So
it's
so weird, and it's like I get it. You're like indoctrinating young girls to like be a mother and like a homemaker. You know, so many toys are like. Like, they even had that fucking one that was like a Barbie cash register. It's like, I want to go shopping. And it's like someone, it's like an alien was like asked to design a toy for human children. And the only thing.
Or an AI.
Or, yeah. And the only exposure they, topical, the only exposure they were given was the movie Clueless. Right?
Topical, does that mean I didn't apply it directly to the forehead?
Yeah, anywhere on the skin, really.
The other counterpoint on that, because I was thinking about this and I was like, this is weird because my two nephew boys have a baby doll. I don't know where the fuck it even came from, but they have a doll and it's called Rhodey, and I don't even know the etymology of where Rhodey came from. They're all like, where's Rhodey
and you're like, Rhodey looked at me too long and I had to burn him because he was creepy.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's one of those that has like the soft appendages till you get down to like.
Yeah, the hand, and then it's like a hard club. It's like cloth pillow. Like for the listeners, it's like
cloth pillow.
It's like plastic head and torso. But then the arms and legs are like a cloth pillow, you know, with like a seam at the elbow and the knee. And then it comes into the hand and it's like, you know, like a baby hand. Like a baby doll hand,
creepy plastic, baby
and
doll,
it's like hard, so you can like it like flails.
Yes, but they have one too, and like
where's Rhodey?
Can't fucking talk yet.
I like so, plate. I like chairs. Refrigerator.
This is a video that my mother took of my brother when he was like
two or three.
Like too old to be pronouncing it plates and tires. Like way too old. He's now a doctor, but he was very poorly.
He's now a hand doctor, so he might give you one of those baby doll hands next time you have surgery.
Just don't ask them about plates or cups or chairs. But the thing is that you kids want to perform what they see adults of their gender.
It's mimicking,
doing.
Which is
exactly it's mimicry.
And because every young mammal does that. Every even beyond mammals, right? You just follow your mom or your dad and you just do whatever they do. You know?
Right, exactly. But that's not to say that, like, you know, oldest children who don't have any siblings don't want baby dolls, right? But they see other women doing it in public or wherever and like they get wind of it, and they like I don't think it's a inherent instinct that's in kids, right? Like little boys should play.
Yeah, like
Army
if you
Man
never saw that
testosterone,
you wouldn't
and
necessarily. Yeah, if you never saw that happening in the way that we do on TV and just like everywhere, because of the way our society is set up, you would not gravitate towards that. Now,
right.
Now,
I mean,
ball
kids have been playing with dolls like that for thousands of fucking years.
Right, but who's making them the doll? Adults.
A doll. Oh my gosh, is this a conspiracy? Does it go deeper? Adults?
Long ago.
We just cracked this case wide open.
Mother doll.
Was
born
from
the
like
magma of the inner crust. She rose and took over the planet Earth. Soon, she would subjugate humans and make little dolls made out of sticks and weeds and stuff.
I feel like that's what early dolls were made of. They were just like a bundle of twigs or something.
And like corn husks.
Yeah,
corn husks with string tied around it. Yeah.
Or just like all my hair. Stone. All my like arm hair that fell out.
Ew, yeah. But I will say, like, it's so funny when you and I play Helldivers, because this was the good news originally. That was
oh, right. Thank you for bringing us
We've
back.
Been playing Helldivers.
I do have something to tell you about Helldivers, by the way.
Lay it on me, Brother Bear.
So we watched Dune 2 over the weekend. We went to the theaters and saw Dune 2.
No
very
spoilers.
Very good movie. No spoilers here. Very, very good movie. Okay. Definitely recommend seeing it in theaters. But the whole time, because it's like galactic.
Did you fuck the popcorn bucket?
I did.
Did you fuck?
And it didn't call me back. I thought we had something.
Come on. I thought you wanted that extra butter.
And, but because it's all about like galactic empire, of course, all I'm thinking about the whole time is like Helldivers and being like, dude, this is making me like so cranked for Helldivers right now.
I really wish I could pull out a stalwart right now.
Yeah. Or like call in a stratagem of some kind and help out the Fremen.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I'm excited to see Dune 2.
I will say,
but it is
Christopher Walken's in it. And he's like, he's just Christopher Walken. It's great. He's like, so what are we going to do about the Fremen?
There's so many worms and sand on this planet.
Yeah, it's like, this place, it's so dry. I can't even talk no more.
Oops, that's my nose piece. That's falling out.
I'm dehydrated.
He's getting so old. I love him.
He's so good.
I know, but he's so old. Anyways, no, when we're doing Helldivers, I fucking love it. And it just it totally 100% is like
it scratches
exactly what we'd be doing if we were young boys. And it scratches the itch of being like, I need to go protect my tribe in this like desolate land to spread democracy and keep my family safe.
Well, it has the perfect balance, and we are sponsored by Helldivers, by the way. It has the perfect balance of like, one, you get to kind of customize and things like that, right? Like you get your helmet and your suit, and they have capes, which is fun.
Yeah,
you know, which is very sort of like antiquated and funny, but of course it's fucking awesome. But then also there's like
capes.
It gets you into the right, like, focus mind state because of the stress. It's like, fuck, 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 because you're, like, almost dying a lot. And then you get a 30-second break, and then it goes back into that. And it is, like, whenever I try to describe to Quay, like, when I'm playing with you or playing with some of Xander's friends, it's always just, like, us being, like, running around in circles, like, you know, like that's what it feels like half the time.
It's 100% just like, what's the stress hormone?
Endocrinology. No, it's cortisol.
Endocrine Cortisol, yeah. Like, it's just, it is just a rapid roller coaster of overdosing cortisol.
And then
okay, then, we're good, we're fine. We're
and then
good,
dopamine right? because you, like, got a shot or whatever, you know. You...
yeah, exactly. Or your kill streak goes over 20 and you're like, yeah, baby. Anyways, yes, I've very much enjoyed playing Helldivers with you, and I've got more work to do today, so I might not be able to do today, but maybe later, but also I could do one dive, but also tomorrow.
Yeah, I can do tomorrow evening. Probably like, well, we can talk offline. Well, PD, why don't we get into the Erpasord?
Why don't we put this in the parking lot and then sync up offline?
I'm going to put that in my pocket.
Circle back.
I'm going to put that in my pocket, and then once I'm out of pocket, there'll be more room for that in the pocket.
I still don't really know what out of pocket means.
Every
time someone says it, I'm like, does that mean you're not available?
I feel like it's one of those phrases that people use slightly differently, where it's like, you know how you think when someone is trying to recover from alcoholism, but then they get back into it, they're off the wagon.
Oh, on the wagon.
But on versus off, because you're like, well, what's the wagon? Yeah, is the wagon recovery from alcoholism, or is the wagon alcohol? Like, alcoholism, I don't know which one it is. Isn't there a Seinfeld about that, where it's like, is it all her own?
Oh, airplane food.
I was on the wagon.
I was on the pool. Or it's also like when you are making ramen with your best friend in eighth grade and you need it to receive a government stipend.
Yeah, government stipend. Remember, Petey, you're the one, speaking of that, of words from our younger years, you're the one who I remember was reading a Wall Street Journal that your dad had out, and it was somebody was getting indicted. And I said, so and so is indicted, because I'd never seen the word written before. I'd only heard it on the news. Yeah. And you were like, actually, that's indicted. And I was like, why the fuck is there a C in there?
I remember this very case, and I was so confident. But I held your intelligence in such high regards that when we went to go look it up, I was sweating bullets. Aura. I was like,
well, here's the thing. This is another reason why you should not put people on pedestals. Don't meet your proverbial heroes.
I'll tell you, it's indicted.
Because sometimes opposite. Normally it's like you mispronounce a word you've only seen written, but this time it was I misread a word that I'd never seen written. I'd only heard it. Because at that point, the only time I'd heard indicted was on NPR.
And to be fair, at that point, most former presidents didn't have 91. Right.
It wasn't a thing that you end your presidency with as being indicted.
84 now, whatever it is. Oh my gosh. Well, should we get into the Screpisode?
Let's get into the Screpisode. So guys, this was season 7, episode 5, the Da Vinci Code. And if you didn't know already,
that was full Kate Forgy. I'm just going to stop you right there.
What?
You just went the Da Vinci Code.
I'm drinking Modelo and I've been burping a lot.
One more tangent. I have a little fan at my desk. And I always
he's always cheering for you.
I have bubbly water. That's right. The big fan of yours. Still one of the funniest jokes I've ever made to Mrs. Harden. She thought it was the funniest thing she's ever done. I've been living
on that. Put that on your tombstone.
Yeah, full epitaph joke. My coworker who's next to me was like, I've finally like broken him down. Like, I've been sitting next to him for a year now, and like we were kind of close before we moved offices, but now he gets me because my personality knows that like I find insults endearing, and so like, you know, we make jokes about like personal things. Like, he like pokes fun at gay stuff and I make fun of straight stuff, and you know, we have a good tete-a-tete. And he looked at me and he was like, ugh, you burp more than any human being I have ever met.
That's because you are mainlining LaCroix, Petey.
And I'm ass blasting sandwiches for lunch. I had a pulled brisket sandwich.
Oh my God.
One. And then I went on top of that and had a Korean bulgogi sandwich with some sun chips to wash it all down, and a nice fizzy
and a fizzy pop. And let me tell you, it was so fizzy. Everybody says how fizzy it was.
Fizzy, so much effervescence. It was exploding everywhere out of her. I don't know. But anyways. Then the other thing. Okay, I'm fucking done. The other thing is, someone left one errant Faygo in the fridge. We do not have Faygo.
So someone bought this elsewhere, stored it in the fridge, and forgot about it.
Yes, and it was called like rye and something. It was the weirdest thing. I've never even seen that flavor of Faygo, and we just looked at it. It was the weirdest
rye, like R-Y-E?
R-Y-E, yes. It was like rye Faygo. I have literally never even – I was like, did someone 3D print this?
Yeah, this sounds like a prop, like a fake prop that someone would make.
Right? It's called
– like, have you
rock,
heard –
it's called Rock and Rye. Rock and Rye Faygo. A dreamy vanilla cream soda with just a kick of something that may or may not be cherry. Oh, that sounds – oh, I should have fucking butt-chugged that.
You know what this reminds me of? Sorry, quick tangent. Have you ever heard of Gil Ozeri? He's like a writer, a comedy writer, but he does his
sounds,
he used his Instagram. I don't think he does it anymore, but his Instagram, he would do the funniest shit. And he would always be really like weirdly surreal, and he would be kind of straight-faced, but he would always make props, like really, really high-quality props for stuff. And the best one was he gets a delivery to his house called – he's like, oh, finally, my shits and nuts came. And it's like a product that is like a fake product, but he's like, it looks real. That's like literally poop and nuts. And he's like eating like poop and nuts. And he's like, this is my favorite type of shits and nuts. I'm gonna find it and send it to you, Petey, because it's so funny. Yes, but it looks like it's real.
Like actual shits.
I don't know
nuts.
Who he gets to like make the stuff for him, because it looks like it's like mass produced. You know what I mean? That's what a fake Faygo made me think of that.
That sounds exactly right. Also, that makes me want Susan's fudge sauce because it made me think about fudge. Oh, that's good.
That's real butter.
That's real butter.
Anyway, okay.
Also, sorry. Last tangent. I'm rewatching Monk, and she plays a main character in the first season. She plays Sharona's sister, and she's in like 5 episodes.
Awesome. I love Amy.
I didn't know. Amy Sedaris, I know.
She's a national treasure.
You're a national treasure. We would love to have you on this podcast because you would just make us moist.
You are one of our heroes.
Okay. Yes. One of our gyros, one of our heroes, one of our submarine sandwiches, all of the above.
All right. Let's get started with the episode. So this episode is basically about Fry being an idiot and then basically kind of being the moral superiority ultimately. But it starts with Fry being on Morbo's version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and it's called Who Dares to Be a Millionaire because it's Morbo.
I did love that. I thought I thought about like this was even past when Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was that famous. Like it was famous in like 2000 to 2005. This is
when Meredith Vieira is hosting. Regis is no longer hosting.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Regis is not yet toast, but soon to be toast.
Remember, sorry, last tangent.
God rest the zombie.
Speaking of Meredith Vieira, remember when we found those pictures of Meredith Vieira at the in the biology building, and we cut them out and we glued them onto our IDs, and so then we had like fake school IDs where it was a picture of Meredith Vieira on it instead of our picture.
All the fuck about that. How? Holy fuck. On my list today, I did not have that coming up.
This is like how bored and unhinged we were. It's like walking around a campus building, finding like an old magazine, and then it happens to have little photos of Meredith Vieira that are exactly the right size to put over our school lunch card photos, like our school IDs.
And do you remember there was one Meredith Vieira that was like on the cover? I'm pretty sure it was Meredith Vieira. And we cut the lips out. Like, her lips
yes. Okay, but also in our defense, it used to be a thing. This feels very like early 2000s. There used to be a thing where you'd be in middle school or whatever. You'd be hanging out at like a basketball game, a volleyball game. That's like what cool people did at our tiny school.
Yeah.
So you'd go to a game and you'd be hanging out with your friends. And especially if you were you were playing a different school and you had friends from a different school come and you'd hang out with them and they'd be like, oh, let me see your ID picture, right? Because everybody wants to see, just like with your driver's license, everyone wants to see if you have an embarrassing ID picture. And so they would ask me for it. And of course I would have this like fake, it's like an old ID, but I put the Meredith Vieira on it to have that. And then that was like me like pranking people basically. It was like, oh. And they'd be like, that's wait, that. What? Like, why? Who is this?
It's Meredith Vieira. On your school lunch card. And at that point, she was not even like a well-known celebrity.
No, she
like,
was, but only to like adults because it's like The View.
Right? That's what I mean.
Or like The News. It like it's not like a fucking pop star or something.
Holy fuck.
Okay,
guys.
Sorry. I had
Sweet
to.
Sweet anteater of Santa Anita. Yeah, so
I had
good.
To.
So Fry's on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and Morbo's like, what tool do you use to hammer a nail? A, hammer. B, nail.
And Fry's like,
C, and Fry goes,
B, nail, final answer. And then he just loses immediately.
And the chair goes, and blasts off.
And so then afterwards, they're at Planet Express, and everyone's like, Fry, you are like such a fucking idiot. And he's like, yeah. I'm beginning to think you guys don't think I'm very smart. After everyone like literally says that to him.
The professor, I love the professor, has a great line. And he was like, what's he say? Oh, I'll be a monkey's uncle if I'm this monkey's nephew.
And did you notice that he has a double fing longer? He pokes Fry in the eyes.
No.
It's a fing longer, but with a middle finger too, so he can like do a long distance, like Three Stooges eye poke.
Hilarious. Which one time I did to my brother, my dad yelled at me so hard. He was like, you can rip someone's cornea out, don't do that. And I was like, you're the one who showed me the Three Stooges.
Yeah, that's your dad's fault. You can't show a child Three Stooges and not expect them to exactly react
to hit someone in the head with a hammer.
Exactly, or react and try to reenact. What I mean, we were watching Power Rangers trying to be them. Of course we would also try to be the Three Stooges.
Exactly. Oh my god, yeah, exactly. So anyways, that's just one of the professor's great lines. The professor goes down to his workshop to show Fry his basically like passion for Leonardo da Vinci, having been one of the smartest humans ever to have lived. And he shows Fry the beard of Leonardo da Vinci that he has that's like still perfectly shaped. I love that.
Yeah.
It's just like Fry puts it on and it like perfectly adheres to his face. And he's like, yes, indeed. Most indeed.
I love that line.
And then this huge cartoon sneeze, and the professor's like, no, 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 but possibly.
And
yes.
He finds a scroll that had been hidden in the beard, and it's like stuck into Fry's chin.
Fry's like, sinew, yeah.
And I love too that. So he like leaves the building because he's really distraught about everyone thinking he's stupid. And the professor is trying to figure out what the blueprint that he just found was. Like, oh, this is Leonardo da Vinci's lost plans, blueprint. What is it of? No one knows what this machine does. The Machina Magnifica. And so Fry leaves and he's like, gosh. He's like walking on the sidewalk and then into the street. And he's like, gosh, everyone, just because I'm not book smart, like, but I'm street smart. And then he immediately walks into the street and gets hit by a bus.
Hits by a bus.
And so then it's like 2 weeks later and he's like all beat up. And he's like, he walks back to work. And he's like, no one visited me even once. And they're all trying to figure out what the blueprints are still. And he's like, not even a card. He's like so sad that no one visited him.
Poor Fry. So the professor has Bender go retrieve a scan of the Last Supper at the Sistine Chapel, and Bender's like, well, I couldn't figure that part out, so I just brought the entire thing over. And they end up scanning it with like hot, what is it, like highly dangerous x-rays.
Yeah, it's like a high intensity x-ray
time.
And he points it at Hermes on accident at first, and Hermes has this tiny little skeleton inside him. He's like, oh no, I don't have big bones, I am just fat.
I'm just fat. I thought that was so good. It's like tiny like baby skeleton.
So then
so they realize
they realize that there's something hidden in the painting, and Zoidberg is like, yes, when they paint over another painting, it's called the pentimento. It's like the smartest thing Zoidberg's ever said. And everyone's like, how did you know that? He's like, my doctor is in art history.
It's an art history. So
he's not even a medical doctor.
That's why medical's in quotes when he does it. So they basically find out that there's a old-timey wooden robot who I fucking love.
Animatronio.
And they think St. James is the robot. So they go to the Vatican with Crocodilus Pontifex, the space pope, which I wish that was
yeah. But he like guides them in with like the air airplane light guides.
Airplane guider things, yeah. So they go to the coffin of St. James, and a rat goes into the little like gerbil wheel, I guess you'd call it, and it
reawakens
St. James, activates, yeah. And he's like, I am not a St. James. I am Anna Madronio. And this is another great line. Bender goes, enough of your lies, Saint.
Yeah, I love the way he says that. It's so good. Because he's so incredulous.
So well delivered.
And then
by John DiMaggio, so incredulous. But it's telling that to a saint.
Yeah, Anna Madronio is like explaining who he is because he keeps on being very coy with them. He's like, I'm the keeper of Leonardo da Vinci's secrets. And then he's like explaining who he is with all this gravitas. And he's like, I'm Animatronio, like the guardian of this, of that. And then it's like kind of like a 20-second long thing. It's kind of long. And then Fry just pauses and he goes, hi, Animatronio.
Hi, Animatronio.
Which is like with all this glee.
We need to get that on the soundboard.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
So you're right, basically they go to like... So they go to this like secret room that the professor does the Dan Brown thing where Animatronio pretends to die because he realizes that these people aren't part of the secret society that need to know about whatever this secret that's soon to be revealed is. And the professor's like, wait, Neptune's the god of the sea. A trident has three points.
Trey.
The U in Neptune is spelled with a V.
Trey V. The Trey V fountain. It has to be that, and it can't be anything else.
Yeah, which is such a fun blast on the Da Vinci Code, because it's like, yeah, that's
just like connecting insane clues together and then being like...
Yes, it's like that movie with Jim Carrey when he was like doing his first serious movie, the number 23.
Oh, right. So
he's like, it's 23.
Or like that movie with Tom Hanks. The Da Vinci Code.
Oh, I was like, wait, I am the captain now? No. Is it bit? No. I couldn't think of it. So they go to the Trevi Fountain. Bender fights the squid that's in there.
I love – and they're doing this sort of like comic panel style fight in a way where it's sort of these like freeze frames, you know, of like moments. Like moments. Rather than just like continuous motion, but it's like increasing, like first, like Bender pulls out a knife and then eventually Bender pulls out, a gun, two guns. And then the octopus has guns and then it cuts to like above the fountain and you just hear a bunch of gunfire from underwater. And then eventually the squid,
I love that sound effect too.
So good. And then the squid floats up like dead. And Bender's like, I found 45 cents at the bottom of the fountain.
Like it was totally worth killing this ancient creature. So they end up pulling up this giant quote unquote nickel, and it is like a
Vitruvian man.
Manhole. Yeah, yeah. It's a Vitruvian man. They
Vitruvian manhole.
Now you have my curiosity. Now you have my attention.
God, I love is that a Matt Berry thing?
No, that is Leonardo DiCaprio in Django Unchained.
Because I love Matt Berry, and he can just say anything and it'll be funny. But like, I love that line.
You truly are the most devious bastard in New York City.
Dude, him in What We Do in the Shadows is just like so good.
That has quickly become my favorite television
it
show.
It is so good.
It's so, and
you really are the most devious bastard in all of New York City.
And it's got, oh my God, what is his name? He's super famous. He plays the.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah.
What I'm talking about? He's from Indianapolis. I never miss a chance to plug Indy.
Matt Berry and IT Crowd is really funny too.
Doug Jones.
Oh, Doug Jones. Enough.
Yes, and he plays like literally every creature or cretin that has ever been in Hollywood. Like he is so amazing. Like just the way that he has to like sit in the chair so fucking long, and he like adapts to every single one of like the care. I don't know. I'm a big Doug Jones fan. Born in Indianapolis,
the great state,
the greatest state in the union, probably ever. Yes, so. anyways, they go to
They find out what Animatronio was trying to conceal from them, and it's Leonardo's workshop. So there's all these like big antiquated machines, and Fry's like, pardon me if this is a stupid question, but do any of these things actually work? And the professor's like, of course they don't, you idiot.
That thing's about as aerodynamic as a sofa.
And then he finds out that it's actually a spaceship, and they inadvertently launch Fry and the professor into space, and it goes all the way to a planet. And they're like, why did it take us here? And then guess who walks up? Leonardo da Vinci walks up, and he's like, welcome to the planet da Vinci. And he's basically like showing them around, and this whole planet is like, he describes it as like one big university. So everyone's really smart there, and they love, he's like, tell me, Fry, do you like going to parties and where there's like, and drinking and lots of loose women
with lots of ale?
And he's like, yeah. He's like, we do not like that. They like go to the math museum and go to lectures and stuff.
And Fry's like, this is also a great quote. Fry's like, how's the football? Or he's like, this planet is basically one bigger university. He's like, how's the football team? And to which he goes, a learning. So basically, we end up realizing that as we get more to Vinci, the planet that they're on, we learn that Leonardo da Vinci is the stupidest person on the planet, which is why he went to Earth. Mm-hmm. So he could go be the smartest person on the planet, but it doesn't really work out that way. He's the outlier in either case, which self-fulfilling prophecy at the end. But he has his rival
Biff.
Which is just,
isn't that the guy with the back to the future?
Back to the future. Yeah. Just completely ripped from it. But oh my god, it's so good. And Biff and everyone make fun of him. He's like, duh, I'm Leonardo da Vinci. I don't know the mass of the Higgs boson by heart.
And then the girl goes, duh, I draw all my plans with a pencil because I don't know how to use rendering software. Yeah.
So they basically get this full tour, and the professor realizes that he is also one of the stupidest people. He goes to the math lecture, and they're doing conic intersections, and the cone flies out of the intersection.
He gets the answer wrong
into a dunce cat.
And then it turns into a dunce cat. And I love when what is the interaction? So Fry is talking to Da Vinci, and he's sort of like, Mr. DiCaprio, like he keeps on calling him Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, he's like, Mr. DiCaprio, I have something to admit, I'm not very smart. And that's when Da Vinci opens up about, you know, why he came to Earth. But then at some point, the professor is like mad at Fry, and he punches him in the stomach, but then it hurts the professor's hand. Yeah. And Fry's like, looks like eating a bunch of rocks wasn't such a bad idea after all.
They make Fry so dumb.
It's so good.
It's so good. So basically, Da Vinci comes clean to Fry and is like, you know, I'm not happy here. I'm not happy on Earth. The only thing that brought me joy was my Machina Magnifica, and I lost the plans for it, and I can't remember what they are. And so Fry's like, you mean
these
this?
Plans?
And so, these plans. So they go to this montage of them building the Machina Magnifica, and they have a big reveal. And they're putting up the fucking banner for it, the giant tarp.
And Fry's,
and Leonardo's putting up a nail, and Fry's using a nail to hammer.
He's using a nail to nail it in. It's so good how they keep that throughout the episode. And then when they reveal it, Fry opens the show with his armpit concerto. It's just him doing armpit farts, and everybody hates it. He's like, if you like that, you're gonna love the main attraction. And so Leonardo comes out, and he's like, to get back at all of you, I've created an ultimate like doomsday machine. And Fry's like, doomsday machine? I thought it was like an ice cream machine. He's like, no, ice cream is just a byproduct. What I love is a doomsday machine that outputs ice cream as a byproduct.
But I thought I remember seeing it shitting ice cream, and I don't, maybe I was writing something down, but I don't remember it ever like shitting out ice cream.
No, I don't think it did. That's from something else, I think. I feel like that's like from Adventure Time or something.
Yeah. Because I remember like seeing like pink with chocolate chips or mint chocolate chip and pink and chocolate. And well, yeah, I had some really good froyo at lunch today too. It was really small, but it was so good.
So yeah, basically Fry is like both the professor and Leonardo are like mad at everyone else for being so like smug to them, and they want to like have violent revenge. But Fry, and this is what I meant by like moral superiority, Fry is like, actually, you guys should be, there's always going to be someone smarter than you. You should be happy with what you have. And he's like, climbs on top of the doomsday machine, and he's going to try to stop it. And he's like, and I have a single nail and another nail to nail it in with. And he tries to nail it in between all the gears to like stop it. But instead the nail comes back and like hits him in the eye, and he falls into the machine and gets like crushed by all the gears. And then but it ends up stopping the machine.
So good. And then Biff is catcalling or yelling at poor Leonardo da Vinci, and he's like, yeah, Biff, will I take this? And then kicks the machine, pulls the lever, and just a giant gear falls on him. And my favorite animation is just that he has one leg that goes vertical.
Just sticking out.
Just, hoi! The leg goes up. Oh, I thought that was really funny.
I have a single nail and another nail to nail it in with.
So they're, we cut to the professor and Fry on their way back, and Da Vinci's, which also it's so stupid. He's like, this isn't supposed to be aerodynamic. It's supposed to be space dynamic. And regardless of the preposterousness of the machine itself, even just the physics of it flapping.
I know. And it only takes them a month to get to another planet, and they're not even going very fast. Like,
right. And there's no food or bathroom.
Yeah, they just sit on these chairs for an entire month.
Yeah. So then they're flying back, and Fry has a nail in his head.
Yeah, with a bunch of other injuries.
He's like, I'm okay not being smart. My mom, and he's like, my mom said I wasn't smart, but I had a good heart. And the professor's like, your mother was a wise woman. He's like, she also said I was nothing to look at. He's like, a wise, wise woman.
Which reminded me of the last episode where he's like, what about this, like, stupid, ugly, and stinky loser? When she had only called him stupid and ugly.
Dumb, ugly, stinky. Stinky. So good. Oh my god. So how many Machina Magnifica?
I gotta give this a 5, PD.
Wow.
I gotta give this is like one of the best episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. Space travel, rich animation of the town. We get awesome costumes from the people on the planet. Like, I even paused it for a hot second to see if they were like reusing them. They did not.
Everything is unique.
The crowd, like, everything is unique. Everything was really well animated. It's a great story. We get great Fry. We get lines from Zoidberg and Bender, even though they're not really part of the plot.
Everything was great.
Yeah, the Dan Brown, like the Da Vinci Code parody is so good. Like, it's just such a good episode. I mean, I normally don't like to do that this early in the season, but I feel like I've been waiting for this episode, so.
I'm impressed. I would say 4.75 sounds right to me on aggregate.
Wait, what did you say? 4.5 or 4.75?
Yeah, 4.5. Yeah. Okay. Time for trivia.
Trivia.
Oh.
I'll go first.
Oh, he took it from me. Okay, you go first.
Okay, what type of medical condition does Amy instruct the professor not to have at the beginning of the episode? She goes, shmeesh. Shmeesh, professor.
Don't have a stroke?
No.
Heart attack?
A fit? Of some sort?
No. I mean, you're in the right ballpark, but...
Don't have a cow, man?
Don't have a cow, Basil. Baby geniuses.
A cow, Basil. Oh my god, this episode is great, too.
The Sithal War.
I don't know. What was
she
it?
She goes, shmeesh, don't have a schmanurism.
Oh, god damn it, a schmanurism. I should have known that one. That was good. That's a good question.
Okay, when Bender's about to open St. James's tomb, what does he say? It's sort of mocking at Catholicism.
Oh, no, I didn't hear it because he gets the crowbar out. And I didn't hear it. And I was like, but it was something funny, but I need to finish this episode. Fuck. Okay, what do you say?
He goes, let us pry instead of let us pray. And then he uses the crowbar. That's fucking good. So good.
Damn it. Okay, I'm really fucking up here. Pissing my pants.
What does Bender ask Anna Matronio when, you know, the three of them are all asking, like, where's, like, the secret room or whatever? And he's, like, flogging himself.
What does
Bender ask him?
I don't know. I have no clue.
He goes, why does a robot need a codpiece? Because Animatronio has, like, a codpiece.
Damn it, I did know that. I did hear that one. And why is a robot a god beast? So good.
Okay, and then...
my final chance for redemption, I think.
The last one... Actually, the last... I'm going to stop... Well, the last one, I don't... I can't... I'm blanking on who he's talking to. He's talking to Bender. Animatrona is talking to Bender, and he calls him a certain name that I believe starts with pork. Do you remember what I'm talking about? He calls him an insult.
Fork over those lady fingers, cookie.
No, this is Animatronio saying to Bender.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's in Italian.
Yeah.
Porco Metallico.
Yeah.
Metal pig. Thank Christ. 25%. My geesh. Spleesh, I'm gonna have a schmanierism.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, my turn. What was Hermes' catchphrase this episode?
Ah, shit.
It's literally one of the first lines outside of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Ah, shit. I don't know.
Sweet Dodo of Lesotho.
Dodo of Lesotho. That's a good one.
I remember Lesotho, Togo, Benin, and Swaziland were like the four smallest countries in Africa when we had to do the test in eighth grade with Mrs.
Jesus
Andrew.
Christ. Most people replace that information with updated information, but you have not replaced any info from the first 12 grades.
The problem is I just can't learn any new info.
You just can't learn any new
it's
info.
Taking up all the RAM.
That and all the choir songs from elementary school.
Oh, fuck. I thought of one yesterday and I was like, I need to text Willie right now. And I didn't. Bad. Who are the professor's three inspirations?
Euclid, Da Vinci, and Brano. Doesn't he have four?
Da Vinci is his main one, but he has three busts.
He has four busts. It's Euclid. I can't remember the second one. Brano, and then Da Vinci. Euclid. It's not Einstein.
You should be really happy that I'm really, really such a good friend, and I'm going to give you a hint. He was one that we studied with in Mrs. Watson's class, and she always used to mispronounce his name.
Algebra. No.
Algebra.
Fuck. What era is he from?
14 to 1600 somewhere. Probably 1400s, I think. Maybe 15. She used to mispronounce his name all the time until she got corrected by someone.
Oh, gosh. I'm just completely blanking on it.
Okay, I'll give you half for that.
Okay, I'll take half.
Copernicus.
Oh, Copernicus, of course.
Copernicus. Yeah,
Copernicus.
Yeah. Of course. Copernicus. So you mentioned this part earlier. The act of whipping one's own back in the Catholic Church is known as what?
Flogging?
Yes, but there's a technical term.
Oh, self-flagellation.
Yeah, well done.
I learned that from the Da Vinci Code.
Me too.
That's what he's referencing there is the monk, the albino monk.
The monk slap, yeah, self-flagellating, yeah.
Played by none other than the British guy who is Vision from the Marvel franchise. What's his name?
Oh, I didn't realize it's the same guy, isn't it? He looks so creepy. He's all
He's a great actor.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, he is. How much does Bender find in the Trevi Fountain?
45 cents. 48 cents plus a nickel.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'll give that one to you. That was
good.
Yeah. Dude, I'm getting my butt eaten on this one. This is shit.
Well, isn't that a good thing to you?
Yeah, that's true. Okay, last question. What type of arousal does the professor get on Venture?
He gets a brainer.
I'm going to need to be more specific.
A throbbing brainer? Or a raging brainer? No.
Dude, you swept the floor with me. Aura.
I'm getting a raging brainer. Which, of course, reminds me of I'm getting a clue.
I'm getting a clue, too, from over there.
Clue right now. My clue is pointing over at you now. Well, shall we wrap it up?
Yes, we shall. Thank you guys so much for listening. That is going to be it for us this week. Next week, we are covering Season 7, Episode 6, Lethal Inspection. Also a great episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, I like this episode a lot.
As always, you can find us
coming up too. The season's great.
It's a great season. As always, you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/worldoftomorrowpod. You can follow me on Instagram at themostchillbro. That is where I post some clips from the show. So go check some of those out. And of course, there's also a link to the podcast as well in the bio. Petey, would you like to say anything?
We'll love you forever. We'll love you for always as long as you're listening. Our friend you'll be. Now take us out. Whalers on the moon, most likely, because you can't find anything else on the board.
You know me so well. We carry a harpoon by the red
moon, so we tell tall tales and sing a wailing tune. Bye.
Bye.